Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Oh, do I have advice for you today, my friends, both short-term, long-term. How much sunscreen do you have? How much insect repellent do you have? And are you properly hydrated? Today is, in fact, confidence building for hot, humid gardening. I don't want to hear the air conditioner is the only place you can be, although I will confess, in the afternoon when the heat index reaches 100, it's pretty good to have air conditioning. Aren't we glad somebody invented that? Good morning, everyone. Today is a good day to talk about the ways that we garden. I've got a new three thing for you, one of my three-peats. Today it's suit up, spray up, keep up. And that means you got to keep up the garden a little bit at least, or you'll be so depressed you'll have to close the curtains, and that's no fun. You also may be going on vacation, so you probably do need to get somebody to give you a little bit of help if you need some watering or if there are plants that you just need to give to somebody else to take care of for a few days while you're away. That can also happen. But it's also true that you got to keep up with you. You got to keep up with the hydration. You've got to keep up with the things that you're doing to take care of yourself. And that goes directly to my suit up. Now, I don't care who you are, if you're out there in, shall we say, teeny tiny shorts and a little bitty crop top and a pair of sandals, the mosquitoes are going to find you. And so will the sunburn. And unfortunately, neither of those things are your friends. But at this time of the year, we really have to pay attention to the issues that arise with West Nile virus. So please, long pants, cover your feet, put on a long sleeve shirt. This is where we go to the thinnest cotton in the world. Because, yes, sometimes they'll even try to do that, but generally you can see them as they land on your shirt and you can brush them off. You need to stay away from the bugs. Fire ants, too, of course. That's the reason for covering your feet, in my opinion. Pace yourself. Pace your tasks. This is a good time to give yourself the reminder to not bite off more than you can chew, but you already did that because you have too many plants and too many things to take care of and too many projects that are still undone. So that's why it's important to pace yourself. I really thought when they invented the little jewels that were in bandanas that could freeze and you could put around your neck, I really thought that was going to be a thing, the water crystals. Turns out more people just go and get the ice out of the freezer, put it in the bandana, and wrap it around their neck. And then when it melts, that's okay. Who cares? It's perfectly fine. One more tip. Please, when you put all this stuff on, you got to take all this stuff off. So don't wear those clothes 3 days in a row that have got all that stuff all over them. It's not helpful. And secondly, take a shower at night. Trust me, both your sheets, your company, and as well as your own self will be happier about all of that. Now, with all that said, this is the Garden Mama Show. Good morning. Guess what? Peaches Patrick is here today. I appreciate you being here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Funny, funny day we've got going on. You know what? Today is National Logistics Day. How ironic is that? You all have experienced with me the new studio, and I'm happy to tell you that it's just wonderful. It's terrific. I'm in Mark's studio now. I'm up here with Lance and Mark today. But the transitions are happening. It's the next phase. It's the next step. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. So we're here talking about hot weather, gardening, trying to keep up with stuff. And by the way, how many tomatoes have you picked? Today is, ta-da-ta-da.
The Tomato Festival Day.
That's right.
In Crystal Springs. Yeah.
If you've never been to that, you ought to get yourself there. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And if you're a tomato lover, which, you know, big portion, there's a few that aren't.
Most of us, though.
Most of us. You will be in second heaven when you get there. Mm-hmm. It is it's something else.
Well, they're a treat. I'm a big fan of oversized art pieces.
Yes.
And they have a tomato that's as big as a house. It's made out of fiberglass. It's just wonderful. I love, love, love that. So we'll talk more about that as the morning goes on. We do have some tomato tips for you. But large outdoor art is one of my favorite things. And that's that I need to tell you. Today is Paul Bunyan Day. So if you've never been to Minneapolis or even in places in Canada and seen, you know, 30-foot statues, they're bigger than the trees, of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. You probably should. If you've never heard of all of that, trust me, everything has, a, just like gardening has a patron saint, okay, everything has a character. We all have, the green man. In the lumber business, they have Paul Bunyan. This is not a real person. This is just a bit of, you put everything that you wish you could get into this one character and then tell stories about it.
Unfortunately, the last time I spent any time in Minneapolis, it was in December, and it was ice festival season. So, you know, you were watching ice parades out a window.
Yeah, that's different. I met people. I had a chance to visit there in the summer, and I met people who actually wait for the ice fishing season.
Oh, yeah.
And all I could think of was, you know, when they're doing that, I'm looking for strawberries and crawfish. Maybe that's why I live in the South.
Good morning, Lance. I'll be watching Grumpier Old Men.
Grumpier, that's good. That's a good one.
I'll tell you what. The people of all of Minnesota, they're
Minnesota.
A tough. Minnesota. They are a tough bunch of people.
You have to be. To live in that. To come up with the technology to actually build walkways that are above the snow between buildings,
right,
because you can't get there from here, you know, between November and February, you know, you're not going to get in. Really fascinating place.
It is a fascinating place. I love it.
It was fun.
It's amazing what humans can do when they put their mind to it.
It's true.
It is.
We do try to solve problems. I'll go back to the invention of air conditioning. Would we be here in this part of the world if air conditioning had not been invented?
Or, you know, they blame, you know, that when I remember there was this trend, and there were a lot of GIFs and memes that went around for a while when, say, an athlete in college would have gotten in trouble speeding. It would always be, well, they didn't have air conditioning. This went on for a while. And every now and again, whenever a kid gets in trouble, it's like, well, they didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, his mind wasn't right.
His mind just wasn't right. It's not always a he. It is, you know, there are women that do mess up in college, just not at the rate men do. I think Jerry Garcia put it best when he says, that's right, the women are smarter. If we looked at the
They are.
I mean, I have to say that. This is my opinion.
You know, you can tell you can tell he was taught to say that.
And you know
for
that,
obvious, you know, yeah, reasons. Here,
Lance is never shy about sharing his opinion.
Well, I get to do this every day.
So, I know.
You know, at
I
some
know.
Point, you get to where you just put yourself out there.
We hope
and
so.
You hope that, you know, people understand that you're just being truthful and honest.
Someone really wise once said a microphone is a dangerous thing because they might recognize me in public.
I had one of those the other day. It was fun.
We generally have good people to talk to when we get out in public.
Hey,
that's
I had
sure.
somebody just recognize me. I went to a 8-9-year-old state tournament baseball game last weekend. One of the guys that works here in the building, not for Super Talk, but for Farm Bureau. I've gotten to know him over the years, and he's got sons, and they're, you know, they play everything. Every sport, but they're at that age where, you know, it's getting fun. 8, 9, 10
yeah.
years selecting state tournaments. And I've been to a couple of their things last year, and I was like, hey, I'm going to come since it's over in Flowood when I get off. I got off Saturday and ran over there. It was like 1:30, 2 o'clock. So hot. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
I still had my blue jeans on. I was hustling to get there. I didn't want to miss anything. So I would go back to the car knowing that I had made it on time and there was a little delay. Do the slide into some shorts inconspicuously in the car, so hopefully nobody sees you.
No, that never works.
It's very difficult. So then I get back over there, and so my buddy's pitching to, you know, it's coach pitch, and he's throwing to the kids. And this is a big state tournament, you know, for people everywhere. And he wasn't throwing strikes. He bounced a couple up there, and I went, throw strikes, pitcher! You know, and I had about 10 people turn around and look at me from his team.
Of course.
Like I was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm kidding. I know him, you know.
Yeah.
And then right in front of me, a husband and wife turned around and like, we know that voice.
We know you.
I was like, oh, man, cool. So we met and got to.
That's fun.
I love doing that. But it's funny when they recognize your voice. you know, and yes.
The comments about our voices are always fun, and we appreciate them tremendously. We appreciate them tremendously.
When that fingerprint, though, they can recognize you from your voice.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've accomplished something, even if it's dubious.
Well, those of us who are big fans of earworms really like it that our voices follow you around in your head. You know, that's kind of fun.
It is a thing. I'm not on the air nearly as much as Lance, but I got outed shopping for Christmas socks at a department store.
It's like, we know that voice.
Right. And this lady goes,
were you eyeballing mannequins?
Wait a minute. It wasn't a mannequin. Okay. It was a lady looking for Christmas socks. And I was like, hey, hi, nice to meet you. How are you? And I have no idea who she was.
And she knew you.
She knew me.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, our listeners may not even know, but we're all friends. That's the funny thing. You know, we actually all hang out and, you know, enjoy each other.
We enjoy each other's
company. Yeah, it's actually, I say Garden Mama's probably one of my best friends in the world. And, anybody that says, hey, do you know Garden Mama? I'm like, yeah, man, she's like my best buddy. So, yeah, we actually all like each other, too. Yeah.
That's right. And it's not always possible. Sometimes work is one of those things that maybe the only thing we would have to talk about is the fact that we like cats, or maybe the only thing we would talk about is, you know, but it turns out that we all have gardening in common. Yeah. That sets the table, and everything else kind of rolls out from that.
Yeah, you were a tough cookie to get to know up front. I mean, when you realize that I actually like gardening and I could grow stuff, not as, you know, I don't have like the greenest of thumbs, when you were like, this guy's not lying to me, he actually likes this stuff.
If I could blush, I would, because I was really ugly.
You weren't ugly. It was fun.
Well, in my world, I was cold as ice, and that's not my.
It's like this guy; he's just another producer.
That's exactly right. They come and go.
Little did you know.
Yeah, they come and go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to step away from the microphone for a minute,
and then we get Peaches,
and then
in addition to Patrick.
Thank goodness.
Yes, goodness gracious! What a third
keep us
part.
Straight.
Yeah, that's you know they make those motorcycles now with three wheels, so. As they say.
I know, right?
That's it. That's perfect.
A third person's not like, you know.
Well, he was trying to talk me into going down to the tomato festival today.
You should.
I cannot possibly do that, y'all. This is the biggest day of all of the shifting and going and the trucks and the people and the hoop-de-doo and one thing and another. You have no idea how much I believe that everyone who reaches a certain age, if we're lucky enough to live long enough and we've been in one place for a number of years, do this for yourself. Don't make your children have to do it later. It's a lot of stuff. You have no idea how much stuff you have until you start picking through the closets and going through everything. The good news is that it has been a really rewarding experience. The bad news is that I think everybody in the trash world is pretty sick of seeing my stuff on Mondays and Thursdays because I've been getting
rid
of
You might see it on the internet at some point, like Garden Mama's former T-shirt for sale. And you're like, I thought I threw that away.
All of those. Yeah.
Garden Mama's broken hoeing tool found in the backyard.
Found art.
Yeah, found art.
That's right.
You never
found
know.
Art. There's a
you
lot
start
of
signing
that.
Everything
There's
just
a
in
lot
case.
Of that. I could certainly do that. But the logistics of it, the reason that we have a National Logistics Day is because you do have to plan things. And I'm particularly tickled. This is another case where we get reinforcement. It sure did rain a lot this spring. David and McGee has got a record purple hull pea harvest, and they're beautiful because there was so much. We can't, and I'm telling you, we can't, even if we watered every day, we can't water at the rate and we can't water with the power of rainstorms all the time, as well as the amount of ozone and whatnot that it gives us in that whole growth process. We are just so fortunate that this has been that kind of year. Next year, we're going to expect it. It won't happen.
No.
It'll be whatever the opposite of El Nino and La Nina
all
are.
All of that. Yeah, the one in the middle. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be El Drauto, probably.
El Sahara.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could well be. And that's part of the reason why I think we have so much going on in the flower world. We were talking all week. It's like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this? The Asiatic lily in my front yard that I thought was dead, it's blooming. The daylilies are all been just beautiful. They finally pretty much finished up. But there's phlox now, and there's daisies, and there's good grief, Mark. All your stuff's blooming.
It is going crazy.
Isn't it nice? So pretty.
You know, and that 8-9 foot canna finally opened. Finally. You know,
it was a flagpole, but now it's a flower.
Talk about Paul Bunyan.
You have some big ones in your front yard.
Yeah.
In the front,
there's some
front
good ones.
Corner, yeah.
Some good ones.
And I'm seeing things that should have been done blooming months ago. There's a picture of a mock orange in Gastelwood that I took yesterday that had one flower on it.
Isn't that interesting?
Is it the comet?
Well, I know that there will be some impact from that. Mm-hmm. I in case y'all don't know what he's talking about, not everybody lives on the online and on the media like we do. But imagine you're driving through Georgia, and it's the middle of the day, and the sky explodes and the ground shakes. What was that? Well, it was, in fact, absolutely meteor. And I love this particular fact about it. Other than the one where it went through the person's house,
yeah,
we understand
the shards of it.
A piece of it. But I really just absolutely, really greatly appreciate this whole business of how big a thing this is. This was 48 miles above Oxford, Georgia, went southwest at 30,000 miles an hour, disintegrated at 27 miles above the town, unleashing energy equivalent to 20 tons of TNT. Now, fortunately, that was dispersed over several counties, you know. Otherwise, it would have blown the house up instead of just knocking a hole in it. But my goodness, what impressive stuff. Pressure wave, of course, you know, the bounce on the ground went all the way to South Carolina.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They say it could be visible for 80,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a typical comet in that it doesn't have the tail feature as much. It has a horn, basically.
It literally came in first that. Yeah, it really did.
And that might have been and we were talking about that Friday. It could have been debris from some meteor or you'd never know. But I was serious when I asked if things like that, these astrological events, such as a comet coming blowing
through.
We
do hear over time about the changes to the soil in an area. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's the pH adjusts. Sometimes there'll be try to find about, you know, calciums and different things like that may have been in the meteorite.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's going to be all over the place to try and figure it out. 3 feet in diameter, weighed over a ton.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is an asteroidal fragment.
Yeah. It's not the asteroid. It's just
it's just a little piece.
A
three-foot piece.
Don't you know?
That was a great game back in the day. You had all those.
Excuse me.
Atari.
Don't you know that there are rock hounds scouring
Georgia?
Okay, now, y'all have just opened that door. I didn't know about this. The first thing I saw was a report on my phone, you know, and I don't even know whose service it was, of a guy walking around picking up the rocks. And he was like, "We think this was an asteroid." Well, maybe so. Let me go look a few more things. Sure enough, it was. My goodness.
That would be an amazing thing to witness.
Oh, look.
Amazing.
We got to take a quick break. We're going to talk about asteroids. Then we're going to come back and talk about tomatoes and lilies and more lilies and this, that, and the other thing. This is the Garden Mama Show.
So long ago, where the sweet magnolia blossom, cotton fields were white as snow. Catfish jump was a river hobo, lived and died by the river's bend.
Sleep well tonight in the comfort that your family is propane safe. Rest easy knowing that you had your propane installation and repair inspected by using a professional and avoiding the hazards of improperly using gas lines. Contact your propane provider and stay safe. Visit mspropane.com for more information and safety tips. That's mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
From our view on this farm, food security is national security. Our nation must have a sustainable food source. Keeping the supply chain moving and food on our grocery store shelves by growing the cleanest food in the world.
We're only one of thousands, but we are united as one to grow the food, fiber, and shelter you need every day because Mississippi needs us. Mississippi needs farmers, the farm families of Mississippi.
Tell mama and all the folks back home, sometimes a man just feels he's got to make it alone. Tell mama why I'm leaving so soon, because this life I lead has got me sick through and through.
Now, we don't want you to get confused. The Crystal Springs Tomato Festival celebrates everything tomato. It is not, in fact, La Tomatina. That's the festival in Spain where they throw tomatoes at each other. We do not do that here. We like them too much. We're way too fond.
Myself and my cousins used to do that in my grandfather's garden with the bad tomatoes.
Were you just trying to get in trouble or just making a mess?
We were just trying to hurt each other. I mean, have you ever been hit with an overripe tomato?
I have not, I'm happy to say. I don't intend to be either, so don't get any ideas. The overripe tomatoes in my world, it went to sauce. There wasn't anything. You threw that tomato at somebody, you were going to be in big trouble at my house.
Well, the tomatoes were usually tall enough, and we were short enough. Nobody really knew.
You wouldn't know who had done that. But I kept thinking, there's a festival where they throw tomatoes at each other. It's not Crystal Springs. It's in Buñol, Spain.
So please don't go to Capaya County and have a tomato.
No, don't talk about us. It'll be terrible.
Yeah. Yes, please.
We need to be able to go to Capaya County. We like it there. So.
We do.
Beautiful, beautiful place. You know, I've been. I don't know what to say. I've never had a choice between a hot tub and a sauna, but it seems like on a really hot day, it would be a good day to just mention the fact that the University of Oregon does a lot of research into this, apparently. I need that job. Can I have that job?
Research hot tubs and saunas?
Yeah, test them, What they're doing is... we've always had this vision. I don't know if you've ever run into anybody that's Scandinavian and grew up with saunas and all that, but they do it in the same way that some people meditate. They're doing it to replenish their energies and all that sort of stuff. And in fact, it has great health benefits, and they have shown that. Well, it turns out hot tubs can outperform them in the sense that they soothe aching muscles, of course, and they warm you up if you need to. But hot tubs actually outperform them when it comes to reducing things like blood pressure and getting stronger heart responses and that kind of stuff. This is not to say that you shouldn't go do both, but on a hot day like today, I'm not going to do either.
Neither one.
The first time I ever got into a hot tub was on the West Coast, and it was, in fact, a lovely experience. And all I could think was, can we have a cold tub in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama? Can I do that? Can I have that? Well, then you had to go see, North Dallas 40 or one of those movies where they did all that. But I just think it's so funny that we actually study this. We study so if I'm the person they're studying, do I get to go from the sauna to the hot tub? Is it two different days? Is it, I don't know. I'm kind of interested.
How do you study this?
I want my blood pressure lowered. Maybe I need the hot tub.
Call me in January. I'll volunteer. But right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's on the phone, Lance?
Well, we have Jim from So-So, and he has some tomato questions.
Oh,
he's got plenty of vines and beautiful blooms, but the fruit isn't panning out right now. Yeah. Jim, what's up?
Let me ask you a question, what y'all were talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
People recognizing your voice.
Yeah.
I've got a 100-foot CBN panel where I talk everywhere. I talk
Ooh.
Around the world,
Ooh.
Locally, stuff like that. And once every night, we'll have a CB break. And I like to put a face with that voice, And I go to these CB breaks, people hear my voice, they say, "You little bootlegger, aren't you?"
See?
I said, "Yep, that's me. My dad was bootlegger. I'm little bootlegger."
Well, that's fine.
I like to put a face with the people I talk to.
It is fun, isn't it? It takes a different piece on it.
But, listen, this year's garden, Mom, I've always planted tomatoes. I kept one growing on my porch for 2 years and made tomatoes. But this year, I set three out in a bucket, and I got three in the ground. I got a burn pile over here, and I took all these ashes, mixed it with lime, put them in that buckets with some soil and everything. And I got some beautiful vines growing here. I've got the ones in the ground. They're pretty. My bell pepper is already making bell pepper about I don't know, big baseball. I mean, they're beautiful. And my potatoes are starting to come up, so are my cucumbers. But I can't get no size or very many tomatoes on these vines. What am I doing wrong?
Go ahead, Mark. Help us out.
Did you say you planted them right in potash, possibly?
I got a burn pile out here. Well, I've been burning wood over the winter, and I saved them ashes. I mixed these ashes with lime. I mixed it up real good. I got some soil. I put it, the ashes and the lime and fertilize all together, set these tomatoes out here. And my tomato plant's over 6 foot tall.
I was going to say, so you're getting big plants and plenty of leaves. Do you get some flowers?
I got a few blooms on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got tomatoes out there, about like I said, a oversized golf ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're out of balance.
Yes.
I think that there's so much potassium and plenty of nitrogen in that burn pile. And the two things together have produced really beautiful, beautiful plants. Sadly, now the nighttime temperatures are too high for the tomatoes to actually set. So your task is going to be to keep the plants going through this hottest period of summer. And then next month in July, when the nighttime temperatures get just a little bit cooler, you'll be getting more tomatoes. You'll get tomatoes that can finish and ripen up. But don't put any more fertilizer on them.
No.
And if they need to be watered, water deeply and then walk away. Because they've obviously got more of what they need.
I've got a bunch of rocks. I got holes in it about three inches above the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I got rocks there, big rocks. Then I got the soil in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll water them until the water stands on the top of the soil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a minute it'll seep on down. I don't water the plants. I water the soil around at the bottom of the plant.
Right, right.
And these things right now, they're looking good, but they're a little wilted. One of them is wilted from... They don't stay in the sunlight 24/7, Garden Mama. Mm-hmm. I got them set out in buckets beside a big oak tree, and it stays in the shade. Well, it's in the sun now,
mm-hmm,
but later on, it's in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, they're in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
But they, and I got strings up there, and I got them staked out and everything. They're climbing them strings. The string's about 7 foot off the ground. When they get up so big, I just slide the string down at top string.
Sure.
And let them grow.
Mm-hmm. I think you're just going to have to wait for that soil to turn around a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it was too rich.
What about if I put ice cubes in there?
That's not going to help.
That won't help. I wish it would.
So, you know, years ago, something that people don't realize.
Garden Mama, since I've talked to you, I enjoy your show. And I'm 75 years old now, and I've learned a lot over the last several years.
You and I are in the same league, and we're going to keep talking about this. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate hearing from you today.
Okay, Mark, Lance, y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So what a lot of people don't realize is a tomato is a vine.
Mm-hmm. Most of them.
Yeah, most of them, the ones that have not been genetically.
Yeah.
And it's just way too happy.
Yeah, I think
it's going to go to the top of his oak tree.
Yeah, and I do think that we all have to be careful when we fertilize. If we over-fertilize with any one element, it changes the growing environment. And I think there's just too much potassium there.
Way too much potassium.
I love the key really for me was that the bell peppers are doing so beautifully.
Right.
Because we do extra. People spray bell pepper plants with Epsom salts in order to get that strong, big, beautiful bell pepper. And it's because they're looking for those additional elements. There was plenty in that burn pile, obviously, plenty of potassium, probably calcium too, for that matter.
Oh yeah,
and they've done their job, but now we got to let them back off a little bit.
Yeah,
so I think he'll probably have magnificent tomatoes in late July.
Very likely.
I love hearing
if he can keep tying them up that long.
I love hearing people talk about their CBs and all the amateur radio hams and all those folks. They really do talk to folks all over the world.
Yeah, my next door neighbor across the street, his dad was a GE engineer, and they had lived in Wilmington. I guess it was not the Delaware one, but was it Virginia? Is in there the beach?
I think there is.
But they had moved there, and he had a huge one. He had the crank on it. Mm-hmm. Well, that thing would go up into the atmosphere, and he would talk on it. I never understood it back then, but it was, you know, as you got older, kind of understand. You can talk to somebody in China.
Sure.
I mean, it was amazing technology. It was simple. It just needed a huge tower and some tuning.
It really does tell us the spark, you know, for all of the kind of interpersonal communication that we're able to do today. We've always wanted to do this as humans, and we've worked on it in many, many ways. CB certainly is a big one. My dad was very fond of that. So that was how I learned.
My grandfather
about it.
Always had the CB in the car.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had CBs in all of the vehicles.
I don't remember being on often, but when you turn it on, it was just funny. You're listening to the chatter. Yeah. It really was.
Well, and you had to give yourself a name. Otherwise, they would give you one that was not so complimentary.
Exactly. I'm going to call myself this.
Exactly. Put that on top.
Definitely.
Y'all, we're behind. I had no idea about this. We are so behind. First of all, I did not know that there were southern resident killer whales, but it is a particular kind of killer whale, which are the southern sort. And they do live in one place most of the time. But now that we have drone video of everything, which I just love, I've always wanted to fly, but I don't actually want to jump up in the sky. I just want to see, you know, like that. Did you know? You probably didn't, because I didn't. Killer whales are now using, making, creating, crafting tools out of kelp. That's right. And you know what they do? They comb each other. How crazy is that? The video is astounding. What they have been talking about is that this, they've never seen this in marine animals. Obviously, we see it, you know, on land all the time. But the more we look at that culture, the more we try to explore how killer whales relate to one another, the more things we learn. I didn't know you could make combs out of kelp, for example, but I'm okay, great. It's just interesting stuff.
I guess I'm going to have to talk to my toad population about their hygiene.
You have to ask them what they're up to. That's right. How are they keeping up with things? I think that would be very, very important. Paula from Dentville says, good morning to everybody. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
Paula.
I bet
she's working today.
Probably. now we've done it.
Uh-oh.
Jason's in Crystal Springs this morning.
Yes.
And he's going to check his tomato patch for some bad tomatoes to throw. Y'all don't do that.
Do not end up in the Copiah County Jail.
No, we really,
please.
We can't bail you out. We don't have any money.
So we know somebody's listening in Crystal Springs.
That's right. What a fun event, though. That's a great,
yeah,
that's a great time. Y'all are so
and they
fun.
Pull out all the stops. You know, there's a tomato queen. There's
sure.
A run. There's
all of that.
You name it. You name it.
All of that. Yeah, the fireball was really something. I tell you what, I love when they go talk to people, you know, and everybody says almost the same thing, but they say it so differently because everybody has a different reaction. Wow, it was loud, you know.
Yeah.
You know? That was so bright. I never saw anything like that. I mean, and all of those things are true. It's very cool.
So while we're still fresh on tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yes.
Lance, did you get the text about Vivipari?
Vivipari?
Vivipari.
I think.
We've been battling this. But vivipari is a, when the seed inside of a tomato germinates, and you basically, if you were to cut the tomato open, there's a baby plant
in
there.
There's a little seedling in there.
There's a sprout in it. And it is the most bizarre. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. It was a tomato sitting in this gentleman's window, and I was over there for like a Christmas party. And I said, did you see your tomato? And it was like almost about to bust out of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, and it comes running over there going, oh my gosh.
Part of it,
but
is,
it is a thing.
It is. Part of it is the absolute intrepid nature of things that want, I mean, things want to survive.
Correct.
And yeah. If I'm a tomato and I have been plucked off the vine and put into a window, I better make a seed and I better make it sprout because otherwise I may not get the next round. You know, I have to survive here. I have to figure out how to do this. And it is one of those things that there are nutrient combinations that will make it worse. There's time frames. Some varieties are more susceptible to it. But it doesn't bitter the tomato, and it doesn't really do anything except surprise you.
And it's definitely a surprise.
You know, and it's a big surprise.
And obviously this particular gentleman had no plans to eat this tomato.
you can plant it.
Actually, I took it home with me. He's like, you can have it if you want. Because I was just like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
to
years
learn about
ago.
Vivipari.
I actually think that was pre-horticulture days.
It was just interesting.
Yeah.
It was just something. Well, but you can plant them. And, yes, they will sprout lots and lots of little seedlings a lot of the time. It's not particularly efficient when it comes. Then you have to learn about pricking and spotting, which is where you go. You take this little clump of seedlings that are too close together that you have managed to create, and you very carefully, sometimes with tweezers, take them apart and make individual plants or individual clumps out of them.
And
it's really very calming unless it makes you crazy.
Yeah.
it had been both of those things. When they were trying to make horticulture machines, that was one of the ones they were trying to invent, was one that could prick and spot. Ha! You know, there's still people for that. There's still people for that.
That's like me and shucking corn.
You're not going to do it. I'll shell those peas, though.
I'll shell those peas.
Those purple hull peas. That was wonderful. By the way, I picked onions this week. Anybody want some onions? I need to give them to y'all. We'll be right back.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be.
I think I'm now 2 degrees of separation away from Ringo Starr. I had dinner the other night with a dear friend of mine who was in town to stay with her grandchildren so that her kids could go to see Ringo in Alabama.
There you go.
I said, that's as close as I'm ever going to get. I better enjoy it.
So you did go to that dinner after all.
I did after all.
I think I remember telling you should.
Yes, I did. You did. I went home and gathered myself up and went out. It was quite something. We had fun. She's a dear friend. Now, besides all of that, Will has a great question, and we are poring over this. We believe this is sticker weed. Is it the burrweed? Is another name for it? And I'm going to attempt to send you an article about it from my friend Heather Kirk Ballard. It is a mess.
It is.
The one that you step on in the summer that crunches right under your feet and pokes into your feet and it hurts, that's sticker weed. But it really does come up in the fall. Yeah. And that's why they talk about putting out pre-emerge things in late summer to prevent these kind of things from coming up. Or, you're not going to like this, not tilling your food plot, because that's another thing that stirs this particular one up is when the ground is disturbed. So I think you got sticker weed. I'm so sorry. There's not a good answer. There's plenty of things that will take it down, but the seeds are still in the ground.
They're there.
You know.
From
last year, next year, 20 years ago.
Yes, and if you just in case you'd like to know, while we were doing research, the photograph you took is almost identical to all the ones we saw.
Yeah.
You might want to hang on to that one.
It's a good one.
It was perfect.
Before we get into the text line, we have Miss Mabel on the line.
Okay.
She needs to talk to the garden mama.
Okie dokie. Hey, Mabel, what's going on today?
Okay. I've got so many tomatoes, and I called before and wanted to find out what to do, and I've been getting them away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do with them.
That's wonderful.
Preserve them.
Well, you can dry them, but the weather's too wet. You know, people lay them out and just let them dry in the sunshine, but you can't do that right now because we've had so much rain.
Mm-mm.
And cooking them is really the only other choice. I will tell you that I have a friend who pickles them, and I'm not that crazy about it, but she likes them.
There you go.
And I also have another friend who, this just sounds horrible to me, but freezes the tomatoes whole and then takes them out later and cooks them, as she wants to. But you can't preserve them for fresh eating. unless, like, I mean, that just doesn't work. So we either have to dry them, or we have to cook them, or we have to freeze them. And I don't know any other choice.
You freeze them, you pick them, and you freeze them in freezer bags?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I've never done that, but my friend has done it, and then she turns around and makes tomato soup in November, and I know that's delicious. I've had that.
I have actually done
that. Have you done that? Oh, cool.
And what I do is I would boil water and blanch the skin off of them, you know, take the skin off of them, mm-hmm. and then core them, cut them up.
So you're basically just taking out just the tomato.
Yeah, yeah, just the tomato. You take the skin and the core, cut them up, and then but they basically, you might mash them a little bit, so it kind of becomes like a tomato, like stewed tomatoes mm-hmm. almost.
But you don't have to cook them in order to freeze them.
You don't have to cook them. Okay. You just get the skin off of them.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you can make salsa.
You certainly could make salsa. I got to tell you, Mabel, though, that's a really good way to make people like you.
It is.
To give them tomatoes.
It is.
Yeah.
You could just shower your friends with tomatoes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I love that.
And this cha-cha with, you know, the okra and the corn and tomatoes. Do you use fresh tomatoes and do that? Or how you do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. I'll tell you what.
Would you have to peel the skin off of?
A lot of people do. Yes. I don't think you have to, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I wanted to know
what a wonderful problem to have.
I know. What a great problem to have.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad you're such a success.
All right, then.
Thank you, Mabel. It's wonderful to hear from you. That just makes me so happy.
We just saw both ends of the spectrum.
Exactly.
I have no tomatoes.
And I have all of them.
We know why Jim's tomatoes and so-so aren't doing
they're
great.
They're not. They're
Mabel's got them all.
The universe is balancing things out.
This is a real good question, and thank you for loving the show. We appreciate that always. This is a good question. I love this. What's the best way to fertilize young corn 3 to 4 inches in height? Don't know the pH of the soil, but it appears to be sandy loam and has never been cultivated before. Here's the deal. If corn is only 3 or 4 inches tall, you can feed it anything.
Yeah.
And it will use it and grow. Now, when it gets to be knee-high, you have to feed it again. If this is standard tall corn, you feed it again at knee-high and you feed it again at hip-high, and that time you only use nitrogen. But when they're little, you can feed them with any complete balanced fertilizer, and they'll be thrilled. And you can step back and watch them grow. So I encourage you to do that. Use a complete fertilizer, a balanced fertilizer. Might say vegetable garden food. You know, it could be any brand.
But
a vegetable food would be a good choice for that.
Go for the vegetable food. You know, growing corn is kind of like the opposite end of the spectrum from growing potatoes.
That's true. Potatoes
are so much fun. You dig them up and there they are. Corn is like you go out every morning and you can see how much it's grown.
It's true.
It is. It's amazing.
I had one of the reasons that I always took my children outside to smell things that bloomed only at night is because they took us out to listen to the corn grow when I was a kid. And I think you really could. There's a certain rustle to it.
Whoosh,
you know,
they have used in many a horror flick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, horror movies, corn is the scariest
place in the world. It didn't scare me at all.
Like, no.
Isn't that terrible? Any recommended pre-emergence for that food plot? I'm going to say preen.
Yeah, preen or...
There's a lot of them, but in terms of something that... I know you can plant afterwards. Preen would be a good choice. You're not going to plant from seed afterwards with any pre-emergent.
It looked like Delta soil to me.
Yep.
I know that plant, too. I don't know what it is other than what you said, but I've seen it all over.
And the thing about it is it's green, and then you don't see it through the winter, so you don't realize it's the same thing that's making little yellow flowers and sticking in your feet in the spring.
Right.
It's a very – well, I don't want to say it's a superpower, but it has the superpower of disappearing before you realize it's there, and then really giving you trouble when it goes.
Well, and if it's a food plot in the Delta, that soil, it gets so replenished with nutrients from all over the Midwest each year. You never know where something's coming from that was not there last year.
Exactly.
If you get the flood, which we got this year, we had the water come up. So If you're south of Rolling Fork, you may have had something that has rolled
from
in
somewhere
that
else.
Wasn't here before.
Well, and we hear the research from Madagascar that if it wasn't for those two lizards, they wouldn't have anything making seed population anywhere because they're the only ones that even go there and lay the seeds down. You know, so it's kind of
we wouldn't have that cartoon.
We have all of that. We wouldn't have the cartoon either. We have all of that. So. This is a very cool burl. I'll give you that.
That is amazing.
I do not know.
Isn't that a beauty?
I wish I could tell you what caused it. I wish I had a time machine and I could go back and see.
Maybe a meteor.
But generally speaking, these things start very small with an insect invasion.
I was going to say probably insect.
And they find a home and they make a home, and then something in the way they usually evolve in, like this, is that something damages it, could be that meteor or something, and then so it grows another protective layer.
Well, and as that tree matures and gets bigger, you could use it may be something where you want to allow it to grow and use the burls as decorative.
Beautiful.
I would want to put lights on it.
Wood.
Yeah, the interior of those burls are just absolutely phenomenal.
Lance,
I can see a lion lying up on top of it.
Yes,
I can see little faces, you know, all of that.
I see the lion.
Before we get any crazier, we're going to go away now, but we'll be back. We've got another hour for you of the Garden Mama Show.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
When guys like me separate from the military, we tried to move forward. But to truly move forward, we need to take care of our bodies and our minds. I finally understood that after I went to VA. I saw the difference it made to have providers who understood what I've been through and know how to help. I'm getting the highest quality health care at the lowest cost. And I'm telling every veteran I know that taking care of yourself is the strongest thing you can do. Get what you've earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Hey, this is Bob.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's not that I don't really appreciate a yes man or yes woman, but I really love a yes man or yes woman when they say, "Yes, I do that." In this case, Nathan cores the tomatoes and freezes the whole ones green and red. He will slightly blanch them a little bit. And then de-seed them if obviously you can't get all of them out, but you try and de-seed them too by taking the core out. That works.
Right.
But he says he doesn't de-seed, he cores them. He doesn't necessarily de-seed, he says in the next text. But for the sauces, he just freezes them whole.
Yeah.
So, Mabel, feel empowered because you have not only Mark, but you also have Nathan telling you that that's what they do. And these guys know how to cook, so I think I would listen to them.
And we also had our listeners say that they would love to know Mabel because those tomatoes are right off her hands.
They would love to get in touch with Mabel. You know what? We're just so lucky. Gardeners are so good and so kind. We are indeed. I have only had one situation where people crossed the street to avoid me, and that was in a very serious zucchini harvest year. I had already given away.
Zucchini.
Here she comes again. Oh no, you know. But when you've already done, fried zucchini, baked zucchini, stuffed zucchini, zucchini fritters. I mean, you feel like Forrest Gump after a certain point. But there are a lot of ways to eat them, and after you've done all of them, you have to give them away.
You have to.
Okay, I know y'all who don't like zucchini are going, "Oh, no, don't bring them to me." I know. But it's true, though. There are lots and lots of things. If you get to where you can grow something well, you have a lot of it and you want to share. You know, you definitely want to share.
It is going to be raining cherry tomatoes at my house very shortly. Very shortly. And jalapenos.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was quite a jalapeno plant we were gifted this week.
It was. And I'm sure that they walked out there and went, where did this come from? And I gave it some water before I abandoned it, too.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm growing cone flowers from seed under grow lights. Congratulations, Kathy. That's a lot. So they will not be leggy. They're directly under the lights. Would the next step be to drop down a bit since they're about an inch and a half tall? When can I transplant to larger pots and then to the outside? Also, will they need hardening off? Okay. There's a couple of pieces here. You definitely want them to be 4 inches tall and branched by the time you plant them outdoors in September.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Is that about the
September,
right time? Somewhere
October,
in there. If it's too hot, you wait till October.
Yeah.
So at 1.5 inches, I'm going to keep that light pretty close.
Yeah, real close.
You know, and try and keep them as dwarfed as possible. But, yeah, you got to raise it. But if you depending on the light, or the situation, you know, sometimes you're actually lowering the plants as opposed to raising the light. Just depends on how things are working in your space. But you would do a little bit, you would increase them a little, increase the distance from the light to the plants a little bit because you want to encourage the plants to grow and not be burned on their leaves from too much light. The other question is how long are you leaving the light on?
Right.
So if you're at an inch and a half tall and you're more than 12 hours a day, that's too much light. You need to have like 10 hours.
And, you know, this never gets mentioned, but having been in the production world,
yeah,
turn your plants. Don't leave them setting the same
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Like,
turn the flat around.
Turn the flat
yeah.
around or turn the pots.
Because yeah. even though you think the light's exactly the same on all of them, it's not.
It's not. It's not. Somebody's in the shadows.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
spin them.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
And I would move them up when they're maybe 3 inches tall.
You know, back in the day when you got Sunday duty at the hotel nursery, you would have to go in this dark, hot room and spin 30,000 tomato seedlings around so they don't all
They're not all leaning one direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And
that
they
was
get
always
the same
just
amount on both
of
sides
fun.
Of things. Well, it's one of those things there should be overtime pay for, but there's not. It's horticulture. We all work in horticulture, we know about these things.
Yeah, it does not happen.
So that would be my suggestion. I would wait until they're an inch and a half tall now. I get them to 3 inches, and then unless they're real crowded, and then I would move them into slightly larger pots, maybe even a 4-inch.
Yes.
If you have it, so that then you're transplanting something with a really good root ball come this fall.
And congratulations, you are a determined gardener.
Yes, yes. And they're not that easy to sprout.
They are not.
I've seen some failures. I've not had one, but I've seen some failures.
Guess what I lucked up on this week?
What did you get?
A cassia alata.
Oh, my goodness. How fun.
Yeah.
Do y'all know cassias? Y'all know the candelabra trees and senna and all those other plants in that group? That's really cool. That's
I might fun. Have just walked into a local garden center right as they were putting them on the table.
Said, thank you.
I knocked four people out of the way and got mine and left. Not really, folks. I wouldn't do that.
He did think about it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There are some times when... I have been that way over an adiantum, flowering cactus that has the fat base on
right.
it. I have walked into a garden center and seen the one blooming in a shade of pink that I had never seen before, and I would have stepped on somebody. But unfortunately, the person on the other side of the table took it as I was walking up to the table. Broke my heart.
And I'm trying to remember what was the other thing I snatched up. Because, you know, it's that time of year where – some of this stuff.
There are things that are just now ready to be brought into the
yes.
garden centers, and you can get a good surprise like a cassia. You wouldn't have seen that before.
No. I mean, I literally saw it from across five or six tables. You know, most people wouldn't know what it was. They think it's a mimosa tree or, you know, a weed.
Yeah, well, it looks like that. Yeah. It has a little bit
look,
of that.
Look, folks, if you treat it right, it's going to be 10 or 12 feet tall with
lots
flowers
really
the size
flowers.
Of a Coke can.
Yeah, really pretty.
Yeah,
pretty flowers.
I'm excited.
By like August. I mean, it won't take that terribly long.
Oh, no.
You know, they're
no.
nice. Those are nice.
I love
flavors.
August. It's my favorite month. Like about right in the middle
his
of
his birthday.
It. Yeah,
that's
almost
what he's referring to.
Would it be improper for me to turn around and give him a look?
Those people are the best.
That's funny.
August. August is a good month, usually.
Oh, my goodness.
The weather starts turning back.
It does.
The heat at the beginning, and then it starts getting fally.
Although, you know, this morning in central Mississippi, it was 74 degrees and felt like heaven outside.
I sat out in it for – I woke up about, I don't know, about 4 o'clock like I normally do and sat out and let the dogs play. And my rascal and bird doggies, I'm like, man, it's too early for all that.
Just in case the neighbors weren't awake yet.
Oh, they know. I mean, he's like, he has to talk to you early in the morning. And it was awesome. I mean, really was just perfect weather.
The tree is 95 years old. That's amazing. That's really beautiful. Just gorgeous.
So how about that photo of that 10-pound schnauzer on artificial turf with a leaf blower buyer?
I mean, that's just
is that
funny.
Perfect?
That's an ad. You know?
I saw it, and I'm like, I got to have a picture of this.
That's so funny. Artificial turf is its own thing, and I try not to think about it. But it does make a really great blanket to put that kind of scene on. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, a rug.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I need a grass rug for my backyard.
I'm about
30 foot by 65 feet. So if anybody knows a place to get
roll you out something. Find somebody that's putting out a field and has a little leftover at the end.
Yeah.
Bring it to life.
I don't want any mind having like lines on it if it's got like 10 yard
that'd be
markers.
Fine. Yeah, that'd
10
be
yard
fine.
Marks. I'll take all of it. Yeah.
Nathan has inspired me. He's in Smith County. He's is that what that is? Yeah. He's growing zucchini. He likes it to add Parmesan cheese. Hold on to your hat. If this guy hadn't been married, a friend of mine's husband cooked these dishes, I would have been flirting with him so hard. He scooped out the zucchini, mixed it with the Parmesan cheese,
and
put it back in, and then baked it. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Holy moly, that was good. So I'm with Nathan.
So what's Nathan's address?
That's right.
I mean, that's what I want to know.
From Mabel and Nathan, we can have dinner
today.
I used to
kick around down there in Smith County with my grandfather. We
yeah,
had a
you
watermelon
sure did.
Farm
yeah.
down there.
Yeah.
King Sullivan ended up – he was the one that that farmed it for many years, his family. And grandfather – yeah.
Somebody brought me a little piece of tomato this week.
That was the life.
That was nice.
The life. Yeah, granddaddy would be like, hey, we got some of those Smith County watermelons back there. And we just pull off on the side of the road
that's
and crack
me,
it open.
Now, when y'all drive along and you see the people selling watermelons and you see them, they have a tent over their table and they're, you know, they're out there seriously doing this – look for the yellow meat ones.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people think that's a horrible idea, but that's my very favorite. My birthday's coming up. That's my very favorite birthday thing anyway. But this is the time of year when they are really good. They're not good after July 4th, I don't think. That's a serious judgment on my part. But I believe that the varieties we grow here are early producers, and that's why they're picking them now. And that if I'm correct, there will be a yellow watermelon in my future very soon here. So.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Very soon.
11 o'clock. No, that's not quite right.
Mark told me the other day you had an heirloom tomato from somewhere. He thought you might have had one.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to one. I hadn't been able to find them yet, but, you know, that's why you hunt.
I could take you and show you, but we're on the air and they're not. So
yeah,
we can't
exactly.
go right now.
You know, and I have a comment. It always ends up. You know, food. And, you know, the studio right now, we're kind of in a food desert, people, so we might need to avoid talking about zucchini.
Oh, no. We're,
my stomach
we're,
is growling.
We're searching for a breakfast sponsor. We would love someone to actually pay to be here with us.
Betty's Biscuits or something.
Give me a croissant with some zucchini and Parmesan or something. Yeah,
see,
I know the
we
people
can do
we need
all,
to be marketing.
We can do all of that. We can do all that. Let's see. Andy and Brandon planted knockout roses early this season. They're doing great. Good. Should I prune them as they grow because one section will shoot up and they just don't look symmetrical? That's true. They have that ability and that quality.
They will do that.
I like to prune them just to deadhead the flowers because if you prune too hard, they will send out more growth. If you got one section that's going 2 feet taller than the other side, I'm going to cut that off too. You know, they're one that can take pruning. You just have to prune it when you're pruning while they're in flower. You have to realize they're going to immediately grow some more. And so you may have to prune again.
I actually did some of that yesterday while Jackson, Mississippi was kayaking in the streets.
Yes, we were.
I'm in Rankin County watering and pruning roses. I had the sprinkler running on a bed, you know, because I can't possibly do it all by hand.
No.
And it starts raining, and I look over and I see sun. I didn't even turn it off. I just let it run.
Keep going, because yeah. You weren't going to get any rain yesterday.
And they were going to talk about me anyway, you know. He's watering in the rain.
Oh, dear.
And that cloud that was back off after I left you, and I was driving down Lakeland headed northeast, obviously.
Yes.
And looking back, I was like, is that for real?
Yeah.
It was
black. It was a good one.
And I was sitting there in sunshine and beauty, and I just kept kind of looking back over the left going,
it,
man.
It took all afternoon. There was a little thunder here, a little thunder there, and then the next thing was, you know, people calling from Vicksburg, well, it's raining over here. What are y'all doing? And then it quit there because this was actually going east to west.
East to west.
Isn't that funny?
It was weird. And last night, I remember sitting there hearing, I thought we were getting bombed. And it just kept going. I don't know if anybody else heard it, but it was like boom, 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 boom. And it went on for 5 or 6 minutes straight, pretty repetitively. And finally stopped. Even Hawk was looking up, and this was at night. And you're like, man, what is it? You couldn't see any flashing lights or any lightning, but just that kind of grumbling of the atmosphere. It was interesting. And, and others may have heard that. But I was sitting there going, wow, this is just sound like boom,
you know,
boom,
the things that we tell children – You want them to not be afraid when something like that happens. And I can remember the day that my grandfather told me that that was the Angels Bowling League. And I'm afraid I believed it. Because it didn't scare me.
League.
Still doesn't scare me.
I like that. That's a good one.
It's like, okay.
The tap dancing.
Something. I mean, he just – they all had – they. If you've ever watched anybody that was really good with a pen knife, small knife – take the entire peel off of an orange in one.
My mamaw and papaw, yeah.
Okay, that's the sort of thing that if you can even just sit and watch that, much less do it, you're going to calm your soul.
Watch her do it with an apple.
And my granddad could do those things, and he would sit there, and you would just find yourself mesmerized. And really, later on, I realized he was trying to get us to calm down because we were all kind of crazy, you know, whatever was going on. And he was like, okay, well, come here. I'll have this ready in a minute, you know.
And that when a pocket knife was in every man had a pocket knife,
so
always.
So did a lot of girls.
I bet.
An old timer.
Yes.
You know what they're called, the little pocket knife?
Oh, some of those are, yeah.
Yeah,
some of those are.
Old-timer was a big one.
Good second question from Kathy, who's growing coneflowers. When do I divide daylilies? Anytime you can.
Whenever you want.
If the weather's good, do it today. If the weather's too dry, wait till it rains. If it's too hot, you might wait till fall, and that's okay, too. I have told this story before, and it's the truth. When I first got to Mississippi 30 years ago, I was gifted some plants by somebody that really thought I knew everything. And that was very kind, but not true. Okay. And one of the things was a bushel basket full of unlabeled daylily plants with no flowers, just the leaves and the roots to them. And I didn't – okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, I was painting bathrooms and things like that at the time. And I put them – down in the area underneath my potting bench. They were there for 6 months. That was from the winter time, you know, for when the daylilies bloomed and stuff in the late spring, all the way till fall. Every one of them grew. They are in bloom today at my house.
That's
because
hilarious.
Because they could care less. Now, yeah. I'm not saying you can do that with really fancy super-duper hybrids, but with just basic, you know, basic old varieties, they're pretty tough. They're tough. And I don't recommend leaving them alone for 6 months, but if you ended up having to do that, don't give up on them. As long as their bulblets are not soft, they've got some juice in them and they can probably grow.
Fine.
And they would probably rather not be, you know, underwater someplace. So if you were trying to build a bed for them, that would probably be okay too.
And, you know, this particular season is perfect for dividing daylilies because the ground is extremely soft.
Really been. Really yeah. been. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's going to be a long drive, y'all. We got to see Mabel for tomatoes. Now we got to see Mark from Union. Beautiful, beautiful blackberry jelly.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. People say, what should we grow? We would love for, you know, we'd love to have a little bit of food. You always talk about growing food. Tomatoes are so hard. I don't want to do that. Well, I understand. Tomatoes are not easy. Blackberries are real easy.
They're real easy.
Get the thornless variety. Plant two of them, you know, somewhere in your garden someplace, and you will get blackberries. I mean, and they can take full sun. They can take those spaces that other things can't. So though. It's a good plant.
Anything
on the syrups and jellies from Blackberry. Lordy.
Look at that. Union.
Isn't that beautiful?
See, we just swing beautiful. By Mabel's, pick up some tomatoes, swing by here, grab some jelly.
And then go out of the way to Union. And then come back.
We're headed to Nathan. And what time is lunch, Nathan? That'd be quite a road trip.
I'm telling you. We don't have to worry about anything. We've got this all figured out. Y'all are the best. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to stare at this blackberry jelly for a long time this morning. That's pretty. Good tomatoes, too.
Green
beans. We'll be right back.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Mississippi farmers raise over 800,000 head of cattle each year. We take care of our livestock so you get what's good for your family on your table. We are only one of thousands, but we are united as one to grow the food, fiber, and shelter you need every day. Mississippi needs farmers. The farm families of Mississippi.
Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a rifle. Hey, don't get a heart. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them, the culinary.
There's some jokes we just can't get over.
I forget all about the sweating and digging.
What a guy.
Every time I go out and dig me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes.
One of the funniest things I have ever witnessed was a field full of otherwise not exactly country-seeming people. I mean, this was not a hoedown, okay? This was a concert with a bunch of acts and whatnot. There were two stages, one on either end of this big field, and when Guy Clark and his gang stood up to start this, everybody turned around, and every musician in the whole end of that world came to sing the chorus with him. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was a long time ago, but it was a lot of fun. It was one of those, oh, yeah, okay, well, I guess we'll be listening to this for a while. Sure enough, here we are. We're still listening to Guy Clark.
It's perfect, too. I mean, I can't not play it.
Every now and then you got to do that.
Well, we get the tomato question lately. And
exactly.
Light bulb goes off in my head, Guy Clark, the tomato man.
Jackie from Brandon has got a lantana problem.
Uh-oh.
Too much?
And I think she's right. I think it's just the rain. My lantana is about half its usual size and has really not been looking too great. This thing's been there the whole time I've been in that house, 30 years. And it doesn't look very good. It's still growing. But she wants to know if it's root rotten. Is it the rain? I think it probably is.
Yeah.
I would cut it back and just see if we can get drier weather and a better response down the way. If you feel like it's gone too far, certainly drench that with some fungicide, you know, the soil. Because it won't help to spray the plants, but it might help to drench the soil.
Yeah, I'm not getting blooms. I should be covered with blooms on most of my lantana.
Mm-hmm. I saw one on a hill in direct sun. It wouldn't have been able to have wet feet because where it was growing, it would have drained very well. But it was a monster.
Well, and that's why some of the most beautiful ones you'll ever see are in the median in the panhandle of Florida.
Right.
You know, they don't get any attention from anybody. Yeah. And there's only like 6 inches of soil. But they can grow and be 4 feet tall because they get enough water and then they don't get too much.
Yeah,
and that's what brings on their flowers. We're very lush here, and in fact, there are people who say that the lantana doesn't look right in Zone 8 in central Mississippi because it has too many leaves.
It does have a lot of leaves,
and it does have a whole lot. We're very good at that.
If you've ever seen,
just cut it
lantana
back.
In its native world, it doesn't look quite.
No, it's very very sticky, as they say.
Yes,
turns out to be very sticky. You're going to be so glad we're going to say yes to this, but we're going to tell you what you have to do. So you can't mow under the tree. In this case, it's a pecan. Can you cut those lower limbs off now? Yes. But you have to be aware that they're going to sprout again. And if you can wait until winter, it'll be easier on you, but not any easier on the tree.
It sounds like somebody's trying to do some barbecue in there, maybe.
And if they are, they would enjoy those pecan limbs tremendously.
Okay.
And if they're the lower limbs and you don't want them to grow back, this is not a great time to cut them back. But when you cut them back, just be aware that you'll be able to mow more easily. But each time you do, you probably have to bring your clippers and trim off a couple of little sprouts that are trying to start. So you can suppress it. They won't grow back another limb, you know, anytime soon. But they will try to grow something, and that's why you should cut them off. Because they don't need to make another limb there. You're trying to mow.
They are coming back.
Yeah, and they will. Gosh, I love pecan trees. Look, though, they're so pretty.
Yeah.
Pecans and hickories. Oh, my goodness. Andrea and Madison, good morning, darling. Oh, wow. What a beautiful butterfly this morning. How lovely. Looks like that's in the coreopsis. And, of course, she has cone flowers, too. It's a beautiful perennial bed. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Nice. Nice.
And I told Mark that he made us all crazy with his harvest, and he said, you're welcome. We like that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We like that very, very much.
You are welcome.
Today, my friends, you know, I a long time ago now, it's been more than a year, I stopped talking about too much about, you know, who just died or who is this, what these things that happened and this and that, because I decided it was bringing me down. Well, today I'm going way up. Today is Mel Brooks' 99th birthday.
Wow.
That makes me very happy. And he's
99.
Still making movies. There's going to be another Spaceballs movie this year.
Yeah, laughter is the best medicine.
It truly, truly is. There's just something about his way of looking at the world that my brain appreciates. You know, there's just, his humor is really out there sometimes, and I love it. I always like a man better when I'm able to appreciate and enjoy and love his wife, his partner, his significant other, whatever you want to call. And in this case, Anne Bancroft, I was a fan of Anne Bancroft's before I ever heard of Mel Brooks. So that worked out pretty well. She has been passed away for a long time. But if you don't know, you need to think about this. Mel Brooks is 99 years old today, okay? When his wife, who has passed away and was maybe 5 years younger than that, she'd have been 94 or something if she was still alive. When she was 36, she played Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate.
Wow.
And everybody knows who that is.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Everybody knows who that is. She just was brilliant, though, in everything that she did. And he, of course, continues to just be, I mean, my favorite quote from her is, slowing down reminds you that the journey is supposed to be fun. In other words, that it's not all about the goal. It's about how you get there. And that's something I think we try, but sometimes we get a little too goal-oriented. On the other hand, Mel Brooks' most famous quote, hope for the best, expect the worst. The world's a stage. We're unrehearsed.
That's a good one, too.
I like that. And that
we try to rehearse here, but
it doesn't take. It never turn on the microphone, we just go. What can I tell you? But, you know, if any of us should be lucky enough to make it to 99, I hope somebody will find a quote and say it and say, good for you. Thank goodness you're still out there making hilarious movies, Mr. Brooks. We appreciate that.
Yeah. At 60, Mark Peaches Patrick said, don't cut off more than you can live without.
See, there you go. That's what he said. Because you cannot unprune.
You cannot
unprune.
You can
prune more, but you can't unprune. There's no question about that. No question about that. Well, I'm going to share something with y'all that's fairly personal. I've had cats since I was a child. My entire life has been obsessed with cats. And I had one cat that was a precious, adorable, darling little kitten who absolutely cannot get along with the other cat at my house. Couldn't get along with anything. Sweet as she could be, as long as there was nobody around. She did not. She's an orange cat. She's a ginger cat. She needed to go to where the ginger cats are. So that's why she now lives at Lance's house. And she's very happy. And I have to be happy for her. I can't just miss her. I have to be happy for her. Here's the thing. If you aren't willing to make adjustments in the way things are in your life, you're going to get stuck. They talk about people who drink too much as having really hard pathways by the time they do autopsies and that sort of stuff. That's very rigid thought patterns. And those are the people, generally speaking, who can't adapt, who would keep that cat and be mad at it for the rest of their life. Well, I wasn't going to do that. Luckily, I knew somebody that had some ginger cats and didn't have a little tiny female girl in that world. So y'all get them. Y'all get to have them.
My orangies.
The orangies.
Yeah.
It's a whole bunch
those
of
things.
Them. Now.
They were having a big time this morning.
The Ruhr University, Bochum, and by the way, it takes more than one organization to study cats. In this case, it's the University of Bari Aldo Moro, which is in Italy, Ruhr University, Germany, Medical School, Hamburg, partners in Canada, Switzerland, and Turkey all got together to study why cats prefer sleeping on their left side. And if you look at them, that's what they're doing.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
Oh, great.
They say you're supposed to sleep on your left side.
Well,
and
they, are,
humans,
they do.
It helps your digestion a lot.
In their case, this particular sleep position activates the brain's right hemisphere when they wake up, which is better for detecting danger. And if anything is a threat, they're better waked up to deal with it.
Well, they're always on edge anyway.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I love that about a cat.
Mm-hmm.
They're so in tune with whatever energy is going on around them. People that don't like cats, I don't understand them. I watched a documentary the other day. It was very fascinating about cats and saying that you didn't choose your cat. Your cat chose you, whether you believe that or not.
That's true. When,
before you went to the pound and picked that cat out, it had already chosen you. Quantum, basically. There's a connect. Cats exist beyond dimensions. And, I mean, really, when you look at
them.
And
they are our overlords.
When you see the things, if I could see the things they saw out of their eyes, the way they see
cool.
it.
That would be great.
I love them. And I love watching them interact with other things, too, like dogs and people. They have a unique personality.
Laser pointers.
Laser pointers.
Yeah, you can take a 15-year-old cat, a 20-year-old cat.
That never plays. They will still get up. Yeah, they will still play.
They
will still play. That's true. Isn't that funny, though? I know they always look like they look the same, but I hadn't thought about it being left side. Excuse me. And indeed, that's.
It's the left side.
That's what we always hear about, the danger waking up. If people sleep on their left side, it is supposed to be better for your things like digestion, but it's also apparently better for waking up. Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
Well, and I love Sunshine. He goes out and chews on what I got from Doris Berry, all of those. When I got them, they were just little bitty aloe plants that they're just kind of giving away. And they've grown and look beautiful. He goes over and chews the tips.
It's good for
he
him.
He loves it.
Good
Absolutely
for him.
Absolutely loves it. So cats are funny.
Isn't that funny? Corinne is in Jackson this morning, and the large leaved lamb's ears are wilting and rotting and turning to mush from all the rain. I guess there's no way to save it, and that the roots probably won't save it either. The roots probably will, but if you're concerned about it, take something like if you have a three-prong cultivator and just push around them a little bit to loosen them up, maybe even lift a couple of the worst ones out. Wouldn't you say, Mark?
Yes.
I mean, they are going to melt.
Kind of give them a little air.
But if we can give them a little bit of air and even take out a little bit of the troubled part and put them somewhere else, they'll probably recover even if the ones in the ground don't.
Yeah, because with all this rain, what basically happens is the leaves are laying on top of the leaves and they're wet.
Mm-hmm.
And the one at the bottom is not going to win.
No, that's true.
So you
and it's
might
already
as well.
Half rotted, so then it's going to rot the one above it.
Right. And it's just a cycle.
But it may not be root rot. It really may not be because they're pretty tough plants.
They are. But they love abuse. And our weather's been really good to them.
Yeah, that's true. One patch of mine has gotten smaller leaves, and the other patch of this particular lamb's ear is going into bloom now for no apparent reason. But it's on the edge of a bed, so it doesn't stay as wet as the other one does.
I'm starting to believe where I have mine is too good, and I'm going to have to move it.
Well,
because it's not it's thriving
too,
like it's
too
was.
Wet.
It's too
easy and a little bit of a fungicide drench won't hurt after you clean that area of the bed up, even if you don't dig any of it up. Once you pull all the dead leaves out, go ahead and drench that with that space with some fungicide just to ameliorate. I love that word. The conditions, make them a little bit less fungi dependent in there. I like that. That's pretty. But it's I do love lamb's ears. I think it's gorgeous. there's those kitties. My goodness, we have lots of kitties today.
Lots of kitties.
Yes. Not that we don't love dogs. We do.
Well, I love them all.
But I will tell you that the orange cat's nemesis, my other cat, mm-hmm. attached herself to me yesterday afternoon. You would have thought that I was her best friend.
Yeah, all of a sudden she's like, thank you.
Yeah, you got rid of that other cat.
That cat that kept eyeballing me.
Well, that cat that kept chasing me around and biting me, jumping on me.
That's funny.
There's chemistry, you know. They just didn't have it. Or they had an inappropriate sort, I guess, is how we would call that.
So I had this great little July garden calendar. And
I
love this one because I used to get this question a lot when I was in the retail world. Folks, if you're growing pumpkins for Halloween, you need to plant them now.
Don't think about that in September.
No.
Do it now.
You need to plant them now and give them plenty of room.
Yeah.
But this is the time to plant pumpkins. People
you
don't think about
it. You can amaze your neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they won't believe you can do this, but you can do this.
If you've got a half acre or so between you and your neighbor,
If you just have a space that doesn't have anything in it.
Nothing in it.
You know, and you can put a bucket reservoir where you plant these things. We usually think of planting them on a hill, but I've seen them planted in flower beds and allowed to go out into the lawn, you know, just to let the vines have room to sprawl, sometimes in the driveway.
But, you know, everybody, around the 1st of August, they've realized that, you know, October's coming.
That's right.
And they run into the garden center and buy pumpkin seeds, and it's like
everybody smiles.
You're late.
Yeah. Unless you're – and you can now, if you're growing the little teeny ones that are really just intended for decorating with – you'll almost get them by October from an August planting. But even they need to be planted in July because your harvest won't be as good.
They need time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get all those pretty colored ones?
Start now. Get the seed and go now. You can go blue ones. You can grow all of them.
Yeah, there's all kind of colors.
But you have to do it. This is one of those things that from the time it spreads, it's going to take about 8 or 9 days, 10 maybe, to sprout. It's not well transplanted, so you want to plant it where you're going to grow it is the best choice. You can transplant them, but it takes another week off of your harvest time.
Right.
Yes, people do study this. And then you got that, so you have that 10 days for them to sprout. Then it takes more than 100 days for the pumpkins to make. Well, guess what? It's football season.
When you do the math. When you do the math.
We're going to two-step out of here, but we will be back in just a moment. Hungry.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time. Made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
The Mississippi Propane Gas Association was founded in 1941 to represent and promote the views and goodwill of the propane industry. Visit mspropane.com to learn more about our dealers, suppliers, safety, and application of propane. Propane energy for everyone. Visit mspropane.com.
We've sent that rip.
We love it when he sings. That's so much fun. I have to tell you that discovering J.J. Cale was a landmark moment in my life.
You and me,
because his music is just kick, you know, just woo, fun stuff.
It was, I was probably 21 or 2 before I ever. I
so
knew
was
his
I.
Music. I knew his music, but I didn't know. I knew it through other bands. I didn't
know
it through him.
No, I understand. I understand.
And then I heard him, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he's a songwriter with great, 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 great long chops. You know, that's fun. Well, now we get to go into the further cat land. This is beautiful. Buddy is absolutely gorgeous. Thank you. I think this is Jan. Is that right? Yeah. Thank you, Jan. That's beautiful. Got a heart shape on his side.
Aw.
It's really pretty. What a, it looks like a sweet cat.
Oh, dude. Look.
Beautiful.
Who's
beautiful.
That?
That would be herself.
There she is.
That would
is.
Be Jolene, Jolene.
Jolene, Jolene. I'm glad she became a Rankin County resident myself.
She may have been a Rankin County resident to start with if I had just, you know, had any sense, but I didn't. Oh, good, good, good. Thank you, Greg. Greg's in Vaughn. Thanks for the advice last winter to try celebrity tomatoes. They rock, and they are. They're very pretty.
It's a good tomato.
It is a good tomato. It's an easier to manage plant, I think, than a lot of things, which brings us to Jeff and Carrollton's tomatoes that are in big pots, big, big, big pots like mine, 20-gallon, 30-gallon. They're loaded with tomatoes, but all the leaves and branches are dead except for about a quarter or third of the top half of the plant. Will they be okay and keep on making, or will they gradually die all the way to the top? Well, here's the question. If you're a gambler, you're going to leave them there and see what they do, okay? But the chances are really good that this is a blight thing in response to the wet weather. And we're just thrilled that you have some tomatoes because a lot of people don't get any when their plants lose all their bottom like that.
Right.
So you obviously had a better situation. I got to say, though, I would be planting some more in another container someplace else as soon as they're available in July because I don't know that these are going to make it into the fall.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
They may not.
And just as
they
well, I mean, you know, we grow tomatoes – just like we grow strawberries from October through May, for the most part, in our part of the world, we grow tomatoes from March through July. And then we start over again.
Start over.
A lot of times those plants have not quite had a good time. Same thing for summer with strawberries. The leaves, because a lot of times there's too much disease to make them healthy plants going in, you know, into the next season. So that's why we do all that. We're lucky. A lot of people have one shot, and that's all. If it doesn't make it, they have to wait till the next year. That would be terrible.
Yeah, I stair-stepped my plantings. You know, I planted three groups.
Explain to them what that means, because that's important.
I planted my original first two tomatoes. You know, only two. There's only two in the house, and I still feed the neighbors. And then I waited, you know, 3 weeks or so, planted another, and then I did it some others later on in containers. So they're all going to come. Hopefully they will – the harvest will be layered over time and not
that's
all
what
at
we,
one
That's
time.
What we hope for. We can't go. Yes. We can't get away from the nighttime temperatures being warm. When they're over 70 degrees, it's hard for the tomatoes to set. But on the other hand, healthier plants have a better chance.
Yes.
And cherry tomatoes always have a better set percentage than anything else.
So it's kind of like a bond ladder whenever you want to have certain investments maturing every so often so that you have that cash flow. Is that somewhat of the use
Y'all see
of
my eyes glaze over when he talks like that?
You know, is that kind of somewhat of the use of stair-stepping so you're not always hitting it one
is.
Time?
You're not, it's
you're
that,
like, oh,
you're not looking for only one result. You're looking for a graduated program of result.
You know, even people that do like you know large you know crops of tomatoes, they'll plant their original one, and then they'll come in a few months later, hit another one.
Cut flower growers.
It's the same with everything.
The zinnias and the sunflowers and the celosias and all those things that you buy at the farmer's market right now are being picked at the same time that another crop is being planted. A lot of people plant every 2 weeks for the cut flower market from about April all the way through July, maybe even later, depending on if you're in the warmer areas, because you only need so many days. It's like, how many crops of radishes can you grow in a year? All of them.
All of them.
Because they only take 30 days. So zinnias take about 60 usually, but not maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on the variety.
We're about to find out.
But we're going to find out quickly. So we'll know all of these things.
I'll let everybody in on this little tip. You know, Garden Mama and I are blessed with seeds from master gardeners, et cetera. You know, we have these conversation, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm about to go throw some balsam seeds and see how many come up. Well, guess what?
All of them. Yeah. By the way, when you go to an event and there are master gardeners giving away their seeds, they are some of the most serious seed people you will ever run into. They're going to sprout. This is not a bunch of, you know, empty envelopes that you hear about from other sources, but that's not true with master gardeners.
It is not true. But I've got balsam, I've got salvia, zinnias, and they're all coming up in layers so that hopefully by September the 1st, I'll have just as pretty of a garden as I did.
That's the idea, is to keep it moving. And, of course, in the summer you have to be a little bit more aware of water and one thing and another. One more. This is really pretty. Greg's got... He thought he was buying regular Roma seeds, but he bought Midnight Roma. I'd never even heard of this.
Nice.
These are beautiful. He's hoping that they'll freeze as well as the red Romas do. I bet they will, and I bet they have a deeper taste because of that purple quality to them. So pretty. Oh, my goodness.
What is the brown tomato called?
There are several of them.
That's a lot.
Throw a word out. I'm trying to...
There's black cherry tomato. There's
black cram.
The big one. The big, like the bigger...
Oh, Cherokee Purple.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah, that's the one you're talking about. Now, I will tell you that the one I grew this year was not as great as I had hoped it would be, but there were several tomatoes on it that were real good. That was the Rebel Starfighter, another dark fruit from Baker Creek. Plants grew great.
It's a trap. That's Admiral Ackbar.
Turn away. That's right. Turn away, Luke. Turn away.
They were some really neat-looking tomatoes, though.
This is a fun one. My tomatoes never reach maturity because my wife is obsessed with fried green tomatoes. See, we have to go to her house, too.
She's there. And we got a whole menu going
on.
That's
right. That's
right. How you do it.
I never shout out chefs much, but I got to tell you that Robert St. John can make a tower of fried green tomatoes a crab thing and all this stuff in it. I have no idea what the name of the dish is or anything else, but I remember eating it and thinking, could I just have all of that? Do I have to really eat anything else? Could I just have another of these? You know? That's not an easy thing to do. Frying green tomatoes is an art. It's an artful experience, frying anything, but at the same time, tomatoes, particularly because they can be so pulpy, you know, they have to have a little bit more attention to their breading and whatnot. They do not tempura well. In case you wanted to know.
Don't air fry them.
I wouldn't think
so. No.
I tried that with a piece of okra once, like, without the fry on it, just to see what it would do. Don't do that. It's like eating dried grass.
When microwaves were invented, we made a few interesting discoveries, that's for sure.
I tried a few things in the old air fryer that I was just see like, what it'll do.
Didn't do that.
Follow the instructions.
Could probably
try another one.
Could upset some people, but I'm just wondering 10 years from now how large the air fryer graveyard is going to be.
There'll be a lot of them, I'm afraid there will be. And with that, my friends, we're going to go do some gardening. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate all your calls and texts. Lance, you're terrific. Appreciate you. Thank you so much, Mark. You came in here and saved me this morning.
Oh, and
happy 4th of July, folks.
Sorry.
Y'all come on now. I can't wear those glasses, but he can. See y'all next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000, home remodeling or improvements, including roofing over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR, benefits, and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.